Okay, I'd like to start this. I'd like to start this by reviewing something we did last week and giving a few examples, because the Gemara is very strict when it comes to something called chamira sakanta meisura. That if something is a danger, then we treat that danger more seriously, more strictly than something that is prohibited. Right? Prohibited is milk and meat. Danger is fish and meat. Now, when it comes to fish and meat, the source we did last week showed that it's a dispute in the Gemara. Okay. One opinion said that fish can be eaten with meat. The second opinion, that's the one that the Shulchan Aruch chooses to paskin. Second opinion says that chicken and that fish and meat is a danger to a skin disorder akin to leprosy. Okay. Not making a scientific health issue, but it's saying that this is fish and meat causes problems, health problems. Now, in this particular case, let's just ask the question, what should we be more strict with? Milk and meat or fish and meat? So if what I said before about 3 minutes ago, chamira sakanta meisura, that we treat danger to health more strictly than iser, right? So it would appear that we should be more strict with fish and meat than with milk and meat, right? But we're not. We're not. You're allowed to cook gefilte fish in a fleshy pot. You can't cook dairy in a clean fleshy pot, right? We serve on a regular basis. We serve fish on Shabbos, usually Shabbos lunch. We serve fish on Shabbos on the meat plates, don't we? You can roast fish in a meat pot, in a meat pan. Again, as long as it's clean, it shouldn't be like, you know, meat grease or, you know. Okay. So last week I mentioned two additional examples of the Gemara speaks of sakana that can change over time. One example is not to do a bris if it's cloudy outside. Got that? Only do a bris if it's sunny outside. Because the Gemara says that the sun heals and cures. We say that. The sun provides a certain modicum of vitamin D that helps us cure and helps us heal. So if the baby boy can't be in the sun after his bris, better not to do the bris. Wait for a sunny day. So this is a sakana. Why don't we keep it? Forget about the fact that we've seen hundreds and hundreds of brises performed on cloudy days without any danger that accrues to the child. Okay, by the same token, we see lots and lots of Gentiles who eat fish and meat, or irreligious Jews who eat fish and meat. We don't see any skin disorders breaking out on them. Why are we still holding on to that one? And what about the one about leaving over milk or wine or water overnight in an uncovered cup? You have to spill it out. So if the reason is, the stated reason is the Gemara that says that snakes sometimes sip the water and leave poison behind and it could be very dangerous. All right, so if you live in a place where there are no snakes at all, mamish, never, ever, then, of course, this doesn't apply. Even at the time of the Gemara, if you live in such a place, it doesn't apply. But snakes were rampant in Israel, and they go and they made their way anywhere. Okay. So that is why we're not careful with the sakana of what's called gilui. Gilui means open drinks. Okay. But there is another one besides the fish and the meat one. I think I told you last time. There was still quite machmir on. Shulchan Aruch mentions it. It's not to leave peeled eggs, onions, or garlic. Not potatoes. Potatoes were not machmir on. Apples were not machmir on. Peel an orange or a banana were not machmir on. Just onions, garlic, and eggs. Even if it's in the refrigerator. If you peel 3 hard-boiled eggs, do not leave them in a bowl that's open to the air of the fridge. Okay, what should you do with them? Cover them with some aluminum foil. Put them in the Tupperware. And cover them with a plate on top of the bowl or something, whatever it is. Put the pot cover on it. Okay. What could happen there?
What could go wrong? What's the concern?
Concern is that tiny, tiny little living creatures make their way into them. Even an egg. I don't know. An egg is very difficult for that creature to penetrate the white of the egg. A peeled egg, we're talking about. All right, but it's an onion and a garlic. There are entry points where these things can get in, and if enough of them get in, it can affect your health.
But more so than other vegetables?
Yeah, just these. The onion and the garlic, the sharpness. Something about the egg where those insects that mix in. And on this one, we do see the poskim agreeing. See the poskim, you don't leave these out overnight. The question is, if they were left out overnight, do you have to throw them out? So on this we have, I would just say, if there's yeshami lismoch, to just wash them off. Rinse, usually we don't rinse a hard-boiled egg, right? But rinse it and rinse the onion and the garlic well before peeling it further. Okay. So can we create a parameter here? See, if we tend not to give reasons for things, because once we give reasons for things, then you know. And we start darshaning our way out of it.
It's a takana, so presumably they had a gezeira, they had a reason.
Yeah, if it's a takana that says we have to worry about such a situation. So if that situation never arose, so of course we don't, with it, the Gemara never would talk about this, such a situation. Okay, the case about the skin disorder. Is any? There are lots of Gemaras that say don't behave in this way or don't do this thing because it'll lead to tzaras, especially lashon hara. I don't see too many cases of tzaras, but I don't ever speak lashon hara, but I know who does. So, in other words, we see lots of people who speak lashon hara ostensibly, and no one's walking around with tzaras today. The Gemara at the end of Baba Basra says everybody. Is over on Lashon Hara every day, or at least Avak Lashon Hara. So why are we all walking around with patches of tzaras?
So maybe the sota that doesn't work any longer because adultery is so common.
Right. It's not, the Gemara says that about a few things, but here it could also be that Shomer Pivul is Sono, so Shomer Mitzoros Nafsho, Altikret Tzoros El Tzoras, says the Gemara. Is that there could be like an inner Tzoras that people do suffer from. Not on the outside, because that needs more of a Hashkacha Pratis from Hashem. But on the inside, it might still exist, and for that, we have to be careful with the fish and the meat. Okay. Right, but things that we that our senses tell us just doesn't fit the either the original point or even the modern point, like the bris on a cloudy day, and that's why we don't keep that. Okay, I'm again treating two mitzvahs together, which one is the shelola hakos of aim, not to beat parents, and two, not to curse parents. Okay. All right. So if you look at the very beginning here, what the Minchas Chinuch does, it says, Shelo yake, ayin Rambam, b'sefer ha-mitzvahs, lo ta'aseh shin yud ches v'shin yud tes, v'Ramban sham, v'harav ha-machaber nimshach ha-chardas ha-Rambam, v'ein kan mekomo l'harich. So, the reason why he says that he follows the Rambam. Look at the second paragraph. Va'afalpi shelo he's here hakasuv befeirush al ze shiomar al taku havos ela shekasuv onesh hamake osam v'derech haTalmud la'olam nishol binin kuzev lamar onesh shemano is har minayin. So let me review what the question is. I mean, this is good parenting. You ever hear of Ein Onshin Ela Im Kein Mazhirin? Ein Onshin Ela Im Kein Mazhirin. You can never punish someone before you warn them. Okay? Our pasuk says, it's written in casuistic form. Get that? If someone hits their parents, they'll be put to death. If someone curses their parents, they'll be put to death. That's known as casuistic law. Apodictic law would be the azhara. Don't curse your parents. Don't beat your parents. And there's a general rule in the Torah. If you can't find another pasuk besides the casuistic law that tells you apodictic, do not do this, then you can't punish that person. In onshin elim kein mazhirin. There's an onesh in this pasuk. It's a death penalty. Pretty serious onesh. Right? Okay. I'll give another example. The Torah says that a rebellious child who doesn't listen to his parents, remember that? This young kid in Parshas Kisetse, take him out and stone him. Right? So there too, the Gemara asks, where was the Ezhara for this kid? Where did we ever see a losase not to behave like this kid? You can't just get up and punish him without a warning. Where did the Torah say before that pasuk in Devarim, Perek Chaf Aleph, that a child shouldn't behave this way, to be a glutton, zolel, sovei? Right? What does it say there? So the Gemara is very creative to answer that question. Gemara says, get this, lo tochlu al hadam. Which literally means don't eat the meat with the blood. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin darshans it to mean don't eat food in a certain way that is going to be an impetus for you to one day shed blood, possibly your own. You get it? Lo tochlu al hadam. Ashara leben sora mora minayin shnemar lo tochlu al adam. Because the boy is called zolel v'sovei. He's called a mocker and someone who eats gluttonous and he drinks a lot of wine with gluttony. Okay. So I come back to my point here. Where's the Azhara for not beating and cursing parents? Where does it say anywhere in the Torah, do not curse your parents, do not beat your parents? So the answer to that is, because it says in the Torah, don't curse the Nasi. don't curse the Dayan and don't curse the Cheresh. Don't curse the deaf person. Don't curse the the head of the Sanhedrin. Don't curse the Dayan, the judge. That none of those three mentions parents explicitly, but they can run the gamut whereby parents fall somewhere in there. Feel it? Okay. Basically, what it's saying is that the azhara for cursing is in the Torah. Okay, what about the azhara for beating? Can anybody think of a pasuk in the Torah that says you shall not beat somebody?
About the slave?
But there too, it's casuistic in nature. It says if someone beats his slave and harms him, he goes free. That's casuistic. That's not apodictic. Apodictic means it's categorically forbidden. You may not beat your slave. Right? So it's a little complicated, but it's also in Parshas Ki Tsetse. It says that when someone is sitting down or bending over to get malchus for violating one of the mitzvahs lo saseh, someone violates the mitzvahs we're not supposed to do in the Torah, he gets supposed to get 39 lashes. The Gemara darshins that he gets increments of 3. Right? You have to decide in advance how many of these increments of 3 can the man take. 3, 21, 33. Right, you get it? Okay. Then it says at the end, Arba'im yakenu lo yosif. Hit him 40 times or up to 40. Don't do any more. Okay. So from there, listen carefully, there the Gemara learns a drasha that hitting someone who doesn't deserve to be hit is an azhara lo saseh shabbat Torah. This is as though the Torah told us you're not allowed to beat someone who doesn't deserve it. Okay, so that's our azhara. Not allowed to beat anybody. So that's the azhara. If you beat your parents, you were warned. I'm going to punish you. Remember that. You can't punish unless they were warned. So the Minchas Chinuch writes in the number one that I wrote here, right? The Harav HaMachaber Nimshach Achar Das HaRambam. Right? Okay. Sefer Chinuch Paskins like the Rambam, that these can serve as proper azharos. Ramban objects as follows. To see if you can guess his objection. You can't use the mitzvah of not cursing a cheresh, a deaf person, or a dayan, the judge, or the nasi, in order to teach the azhara for parents. What's the fundamental difference between those three and cursing parents? Cursing parents has the death penalty. The other three don't. Right? The same is true with our Arba'im Yakenu Lo Yosif. We're talking about the death penalty here for beating parents. Right? Okay, you see it? You can't use Nazhara for something that doesn't have the death penalty. So Ramban admittedly takes a different mahalach to this. And this is not, I'm already going off on a tangent. Okay. All right, look at number 2. Right. So I want to introduce you to a concept that it's important to introduce this number two section. Okay. And he also, he gives a brief introduction. Okay. Introduction is that when someone is guilty of violating the Torah that this requires malchus and requires a monetary payment, you don't do both of them. Okay. There sometimes will be a dispute which one of the two you do. If someone stole $100 from me, he violated the Torah. He's supposed to get malchus, but he has to pay me back the $100. So you don't have to pay and get malchus. If I stole $100 and I was given the choice, you can get lashes or you can return the money. Maybe the money's worth it. Depends on how much you stole, right? Okay. Okay. So with that in mind, when someone beats his parents or curses his parents, right? Let's leave the beating for now. Let's do the beating one. Someone got into a big punching fight with his parents, broke his nose. His nose was bleeding. The definition of beating, by the way, is drawing blood. And the parents had to spend $5,000 to get the nose fixed. Does the son have to pay for that?
It depends on which is regarded as the more severe penalty.
Well, ostensibly, if two witnesses saw him and warned him, right, then punching a parent with malice and drawing blood is guilty of the death penalty. And that's kim lipid rabmine.
Right.
The minute he became chayav in the death penalty is the minute he also became chayav in the monetary fine because he caused a broken bone.
Right, but that's compensable. But that he can discharge just by paying money as opposed to being executed.
Right. Okay, he discusses that this number two here from the standpoint of kimle, what's known as kimle mitaraba mine.
Right.
When the person is guilty of two punishments, just give him the more stringent one, but not both, not a monetary fine and a capital crime. Okay. Number three asks a very interesting question that is very common in modern tshuvas. Can a parent be mochel on this? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the punishment?
On the crime. In other words, this is a Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin about a parent who wanted to test the child's moral fortitude to see if the child would get angry. You know, but if you know the child gets angry and beats a parent, the parent will be over and lo sitin mishol, putting a stumbling block before the blind. Right? The question might arise, let's say, if a parent and a child are both playing contact sport. They're both playing basketball. You've never gotten a bloody nose while playing basketball? You never went up for a hard layup or a hard rebound, and the person who's guarding you has long nails. He can cut his nails before playing, and he scratches you clear across your arm like this, and you see a big red mark there. I'm sorry to say that if someone does that to a parent with malice, there can be chayav misa for that.
But how do you have the hasara? There's no hasara in that situation.
The child is that this is precisely the question. The child is like musr of ome. Right, it's very possible to play a whole 3-on-3 basketball game without scratching somebody. Here, the question is, can the father tell the child before they, so that they can play contact sports together on the same team, on different teams? with the express instruction that if the child, it's like Greer almost, if the child ends up scratching his father or punching him in the nose with the lead while they're doing both running for a rebound, and the child may be told in advance, listen, a parent is allowed to be mawful on the kavod. I want to play ball with you. I'm playing the same team, different team, whatever it is. And I do understand that you may have to, you may end up doing me some harm. Okay? The parent is allowed to do that. Okay?
Is the parent the one who brings the matter for the Beis Din? I mean,
I suspect anytime someone does a crime, right, violates the Torah, if he wants to do tshuva, he wants to fix it. Right? A child who maliciously punches the parent and draws blood, the parent may choose not to prosecute this.
Right. So, but he's the one, it's up to the parent to bring it to the attention of the Beis Din that this is what my son did to me.
Yeah. If the son wants to do tshuva somehow and says, now you can't get a punishment for what's called Hoda'as Baldin. You can pay on Hoda'as Baldin. Hmm. If you have that Hoda'as Baldin, Kamei Edim Dami. Right? The admission of one of the litigants is worth 100 witnesses. Right? When it comes to money, a person can confess and pay. If I say, I'm sorry, Howard, 5 years ago I borrowed money from you, we both forgot, but I want to pay you back now. Of course they do. But you can't say, yesterday I ate pork, I want to get malchus. You can't say that. That doesn't work. You see how? Okay. You can't say I wore shatnez yesterday. Give me malchus.
But is that because it ain't Adam Asa Atma Russia? We don't accept the test money?
Yeah. There's something called Palginon Dibura where you sort of give half testimony and accept it. Because the other half affects you. Right? So contact sports is allowed as long as the parent says, I'm mochel. It may happen. What happens if the Menachas Chinuch presses the envelope and said, what happens if it certainly will happen? In other words, let's say they're doing karate or jiu-jitsu or I don't know, some kind of a contact sport where we pretty much know that they're gonna clash. Right? Or even furthermore, the parent needs insulin shots. There's no one to give it. Maybe we can hire someone next time, but right now there's no one to give the shot. Right? So on this, the general principle is that the halacha prefers that someone else give those shots. Okay. However, if getting someone else to give those shots is prohibitively expensive, if the child is the best in the field and the parent is prone to get blood clots or blood vessel broken or stuff. Okay. Now, which do you think is worse? Hitting parents or cursing parents? What's worse? Which should have a more severe punishment? Now, both have the death penalty. But what's worse? Hitting parents or cursing parents?
I'd say cursing the parents.
That is correct. Because especially in the genre of the Torah, absorbing a curse was a really, really terrible thing. you really be careful because they boomerang and they do all kinds of things you don't expect. And people are very serious about taking these things serious. Right? Howard is correct. Cursing parents has the more serious punishment. Cursing parents is skila. Beating parents is chenek. Okay. Okay. The reason for this is because our parents are the symbol of God for us. They created us. Okay. So if someone, chas v'shalom, curses a parent, they are, I'm using a euphemism for Hashem, they're blessing God. But if someone beats parents, they're not beating God because God doesn't have a form. So cursing parents plugs into the divine. Masha Enkin beating. Right? Another chumra might be, I don't know who would do such a crazy thing, but beating a parent after the parent is no longer alive, even drawing blood shortly after they died, does not carry this death penalty. Okay. So this accounts for the apparent chumra for cursing. Okay. And that's number four. You see number four. B'dafka b'makeh b'chayim avala achar misa patur d'lo shayach habura kachi b'mishnah kan. Right? Okay, so the mitzvah of kibud av va'em applies even after the parents are no longer alive. Okay, number five. Now, the halacha is that you're not allowed to curse someone that says, lo tekalel b'nei mecha, not to curse someone as part of your clan. So, the minchas chinuch in this number, dalid here, number five, but it has dalid before it, wants to know if there are any parameters. Is there a geder? Right. Im hayu avivi imo rishaim, potter al michtam, amakatam. Okay. If the mother and father are wicked, there's no death penalty for hitting them. It's only B'nai HaMecha that had the Azhara. People who are acting like they're amongst your people. But not if they're Rishayim. All right, we don't pass them this way. Okay. We don't say that if a parent is a Rasha, we're allowed to beat them. Today we really don't pass them any way like this. Okay, there's no such thing. There's a question: if a parent is a Rasha, should we say Kaddish for them all 12 months? Right? Because originally the Kaddish was the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the time Okay, so that if the parent is let's say the parent is a is being given malchus for violating the Torah. And the guy who's hired by the Sanhedrin to give the malchus is that man's son. Right? Or worse, the person who is in charge of decapitation. You know, someone had to do it. Had to take a sword and chop off the head. Right? So if the man who is guilty of a capital crime, and it's his son who's the sword bearer that day. So the halacha actually allows the son to do it, because the father's a rasha. Right?
Okay. But don't we say after the priest got malchus that he's ben amecha or?
Yeah, that's actually, he discusses this. Yeah, but it's not until.
No, I understand. It's a paradox.
Yeah, it's on this discussion. The Chinuch brings this out here. Right? Because if the parent is tshuva, of course, the child is still now has to honor them again.
So
we don't know from this. We really don't know from this. So if the child is a Baal Tshuva and the parent is a total Rasha, the parent violates Shabbos. So that's we still hold that there's a mitzvah to honor the parent.
With the cursing, so the parent doesn't have to actually hear the curse. It could be to a third party.
Yes, even if it's not to the parent.
So if I don't know if this ever actually happened, but like if you're in, you know, you have, I mean, I know people this happened where they turned out in therapy, it came out that they had been molested by their father, and which he didn't deny when they confronted with it. So if momentarily, as this emerges in therapy, would that still count as a curse for your father? Would that be?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because it's not, I don't think so. First of all, he's not B'nai Amecha. He removed himself from that category. Right?
Okay, you should move beyond it, but, yeah.
Number six, I dealt with already. It says, V'im oseh bo chabura l'refua potter. If in order to do a refuah, he has to make a wound or he has to draw blood, and he quotes the Ramban and the Ramah. He says, "Im efshar ba'acher, if you have another person to do it, matov u'manoim, please. But if not." So if the child or the child is the best one at doing it, then the child can do it. Okay. Now number seven is called a shtuki. What is a shtuki? Shtuki is a concept in the first parak in the Seches Ksuvos. Shtuki is shtuk means to be quiet, is where a child asks his mother, "Mommy, who is daddy? Who's my father?" And she says, "Shh, nobody knows." That's called a shtuki. Shtuki knows who his mother is, who's Jewish. He doesn't know who his father is. So let's say this man comes and claims to this shtuki, "I'm really your father. I know." Right? The mother who raised you, she is your mother. And she conceived this baby for you from me. I'm your father. So the father comes over them, and the shtuki curses him or beats him. Okay. So the Minchas Chinuch posits that that's also potter. What's his raya? So he actually tells a story from the Gemara. You've heard of Rami Bar Rochel? Rami Bar Rochel? Or Rav Mari Bar Rochel? Rochel was Shmuel's daughter, and she was taken captive and raped by a man named Isser, of all names, Isser, I-S-S-U-R, Isser, like Isur. So the man Isser fell in love with her and agreed to convert. And he married her. And he became a shtickle Talmud Chacham. And he had a son who was a real Talmud Chacham. So the child was conceived from the violation, from the rape. So the child was conceived while the father wasn't Jewish. He's fully Jewish. He wouldn't need a conversion. But because of the facts I just mentioned, you see in about the fifth or sixth line after the number seven, it says Ger. So it says, Rav Mari Baruchel Mikomakom Alaav Pater De'eno Aviv Klali Yerusha. That if Mari Baruchel would again, he goes by his mother's name, would beat Isser, so he would not be chayav. It's amazing how the chinuch comes up with these minutia and these details. I see I didn't write the number eight. Right? Oh. Stuki. Four Stuki. I guess Rami Baruchel should be eight. Right, I didn't put an eight there. Just good for measure. For good measure, I should put an eight there. Okay. Number nine asks this question. What happens if a 12-year-old boy or an 11-year-old girl would beat the parent and cause a chabura? No, I'm not. They'd be putter, no? Same is true about a chayresh and a shota. A deaf and dumb, someone born deaf and dumb, is putter from this, as well as shota, even past 13 years old. Okay, so what's the big chiddush? Why does that chinuch have to tell us this? A katan is pater in all the mitzvahs of the Torah. The answer might be as follows. There is a medrash that says, Poked avon avos al banim, God visits the iniquity of parents upon children. In what way? Not the iniquity of parents per se. That's too crazy. Parent sins and the son suffers for it? Right? Oh, look, what God wants to do, God will do. Who am I to judge? When we're told everyone dies for their own sins, that's talking about a human court. You can't punish vicariously in the human court. But in God's court, he does what he wants. Who are we to tell him what to do and what not to do? Right? So, the chiddush is that since the Torah says, Poked avon avos al banim, God visits the iniquity of parents upon the children, right? Doesn't mean I'm getting punished for something my father did. I'm getting punished for something I did when I was a child. The one mitzvah that we are responsible for, even before we're bar mitzvah, is Kabbalah Savicha Vesimach. Okay? That's a bit of a chiddush. Right? Still doesn't account for young children dying. What could they die for? Before bar mitzvah, how could anyone die before 13 and 12? Answer is, Poked avon avos al banim val b'nei banim. And I don't know how God runs the universe with these things, and I'm not privy to it, so I shouldn't talk about it. Okay, still what to talk about here, because there were two mitzvahs involved. I have only about three or four more topics to discuss on this particular thing. And then we have, again, I skipped the mitzvahs. With interesting question we'll deal with next week is the punishment for killing anybody is chenek. Right? The punishment for beating parents is decapitation. right? Which the Gemara considers to be more stringent, more chamor than chenek. What would be the punishment for someone who kills his father? Should he get the same punishment as beating his father? Or should he get the same punishment as killing anyone? Tune in next week. The Chinuch has an interesting thing on that. Okay, Ein Chevra.
That was fast.
Have a great week, everybody.